Let's start off with, what does a comprehensive plan do? What are the elements of the plan, and how will it help Springfield?
We are looking at the comprehensive plan to help us better assess the appropriate use of Springfield lands as we move forward into the future, help us decide the direction of how the city of Springfield wants to grow, looking at all the elements that are involved, whether it be population or infrastructure, development, whatever it may be, looking at all of those elements that tie in together to best plan the use of city lands.
It's fundamentally a blueprint, as Bonnie said, for how the city wants to grow, what it wants to look like, what it wants to see develop, where it wants to see or not see it develop. We're focused on what's going to occur here, whether the city can support the growth we anticipate it'll have over the next 20 years and just create the kind of city that residents want to have in 20 years.
One of the elements is to honor its past, particularly the legacy of President Abraham Lincoln, but it also calls for the city to forge a new legacy. Val, you were a community member on the committee that developed this plan. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and how that came to be a part of it?
Well, it's important to honor our legacy, honor that. But we are more than just Lincoln and Lincoln sites. So one of the things that we wanted to do is look at other areas in which we could expand. That's why we made sure that we went out to our residents, asked for their opinions, asked them to tell us a little bit more about what they think they see, how they see Springfield in the future.
And so what was some of the response that you got from residents?
First is they want to see a more attractive city. They're proud of their city. They want to be more proud of it. They just don't think the city has the curb appeal that it ought to have. Secondly, they wanted to be better connected. And that's not just transportation and communication infrastructure. They want people to actually start coming together and thinking of themselves as a part of a community. So there's a lot of effort that went into that in terms of developing places and sites and ways that the community can come together. And they wanted it to grow. They wanted that to be limited, but they wanted some growth. I think that's an important aspect of it, of how the plan addresses that. And they understood that this city has a special past, as Val said, but it's more than Lincoln. We have things here related to both the civil rights movement, the labor movement. We're state capital of a major state. All those things need to be highlighted. And we tried to address that, and the steering committee did in the plan.
You mentioned one of the parts of the vision is for Springfield to be a growing city. And we know from different demographic studies that Springfield and Sangamon County's population has been stagnant or declining for the last couple of years. So how does this plan propose to reverse that or address that concern and turn it around and turn it into a growing city?
One thing is identifying areas where new businesses could grow, but we're not forgetting the homegrown businesses and the ones that are here already, looking at possibly as those businesses and industries, retail, whatever it may be, continue to grow here in the city. But we're hoping that the land use plans that we are presenting will bring some enticement and excitement to the city that people will want to grow on those areas.
The land use that we're indicating here calls for more compact and contiguous development. And the end result of that, when you look at the different analyses that we did, says that by having that occur, we do get more population and business growth than we do under the current plan. So I think that the steering committee came up with a pretty creative way to address more sluggish population growth over the next few years.
And when you say compact and contiguous growth, what does that mean?
It's more about encouraging redevelopment. We have a lot of places that are vacant. So looking at some of those vacant, some of the historic sites that perhaps are vacant. So looking to develop those areas would be one of the ways. And infill. So we've got large areas where there's nothing. So can we put something there instead of spreading out further?
Now, part of Springfield's challenge is it's, of course, grown west. And that's largely because to the south, north, and east, we have floodplain and other water features that keep that from occurring. So the infrastructure existed and the ease of development occurred to the west. So one of the things that it starts to look at doing is how can you start to spread some of that, particularly commercial development out, looking at places like on the north side of Springfield, how you redevelop East Springfield. And some things, where are those job and commercial nodes? And if you look at the map and how, particularly some of the scenarios we ran show that in the plan, you can see where they start to pop up.
We're talking with Norm Sims of the Regional Planning Commission, Bonnie Drew with the Mayor's Office, and Val Yazel, who serves on Springfield's Planning and Zoning Commission. Now, the city has been criticized in the past for having these big, extensive plans that just sit on a shelf. Bonnie, what can city officials do to ensure that this vision for Springfield and its land use are implemented?
First of all, we need to have buy-in We need to have buy-in by the Planning and Zoning Commission members, because they will be the ones that will get the case-by-case study as they come through. But our aldermen need to take a good look at this, to look at the direction and the vision for the city, look at what is, again, the cost-effective way, the best cost-effective way we can move forward to grow our city, to meet the needs of our city while we're still trying to meet those four goals.
One of the things that the public is most concerned about, we heard this over and over, was piecemeal decision-making in the city. Is there a plan that doesn't fit into that? And one of the reasons why you develop a plan such as that is to try to get that decision-making up front. It reduces the kinds of conflicts that we often see at a zoning hearing or at a city council over land use. So it's important for that to occur. And I think from a staff perspective, there's a lot of good things in this plan, both for residents, for the development community, for the governmental actors, that if they take it to heart and they carry it forward, it'd be a benefit to the residents here.
And what are the next steps to get this plan in place?
On November the 16th at 5:30 in the City Council Chambers, which is located in the Municipal Center West at the corner of 7th Monroe Street downtown, we'll open up at 5:30. The Council Chamber will open up. We'll have some maps and some charts kind of blown up from the plan so the citizenry can view it, take a look at it. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll open it up for any public comment or debate. In the meantime, people can also presently give us their comments or their feedback at feedback@springfield.il.us. Then the City Council will take all of this into consideration, and then they will take a vote on it, whether to accept it or move forward with it or whatever.
Any final thoughts on the comprehensive plan?
The one comment that stuck in my mind throughout this was a comment by a gentleman in one of the ward meetings who said, "This city has great bones. Now it's time to put some muscle on them." And I think that was one of the things that we tried to do throughout this, to make this a great city.